back at it again with the white vans. So are we starting? Are we starting this thing, huh?
Yeah. I've been rolling.
Let me take a puff of the magic.
Show Baraka's voice saying.
Wake up.
It's his inhaler, guys.
All right. Here we go. Wake up. What's going on, y'all? We're back at it. I think it's been, 3 weeks now? 2 weeks?
Something like that.
This is like the longest we've been off in a while.
We were doing really good there for a while. We had to move studios.
You haven't been working your white guy privilege. That's the problem. Like, you, out of all the people who's been a problem, it's been you. I'm shocked.
I'm sorry I failed you. Like, so often you have struggles in being here, but the 2 weeks I can't do it, it's like a deal breaker in our relationship.
I'm just shocked. You're working on CP time, bro. That's all I'm saying.
CP, what's CP?
Don't worry about it. I would like to introduce to you guys, we have a special guest tonight.
Sure.
And to the request of many people, because we've been I think there's been riots in the streets because we haven't had a consistent female voice on this show. And so, because David, for some reason, can no longer make it because he's famous now. Ever since that brother took that picture with Kevin Hart, he's like, I'm not showing up anymore. But today we have the wonderful Yvette Broughton.
We upgraded.
We did. Yvette, is that how you say your last name? Broughton?
Yvette Broughton.
Broughton. There we go.
Broughton. Bring it on, Broughton.
Bring it on, Broughton.
Dope. Welcome. And so we have Dan and we have Adon. Right. So Yvette, give us a little something about yourself real quick for the peoples. Where are you from? What do you like to do?
I am originally from New York. I grew up in Astoria, Queens, and then also in South Carolina. Nice. So I've been in Atlanta for a little while now. I am a television professional.
Lovely.
And I'm just really excited to be here.
Dope. So don't be shy, though. And I know you won't be. But also, you're going to have to turn off the cool voice. And you're going to speak a little louder. Because
okay. You can speak just like that. I can make it work.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Hey. What the ratchet? No, not the ratchet. But anyway, all right. So it's been a while.
If they tuned in to see y'all's video last week, they saw Yvette.
There we go. So if you saw the top four TV moms, Yvette was sitting next to me.
Which, of course, you should have seen the top four TV moms. If you didn't, something's wrong with you.
Wrong.
You
need
to go check it out.
Check that out.
And share it. And tell other people how dope it is. Mm-hmm. Yvette had some suspect choices on there.
I did not have suspect choices.
See, this is why we let her on the show, because she's going to stand up to the show.
We had two of the same choices. We had Roseanne and Claire. I think you was hating on Claire, though.
I was hating a little. I mean, Claire, but I mean, I had valid points to why, Claire wasn't all the way realistic.
I'm with you.
Don't you have a song about Claire? Don't you?
Cliff and Claire.
That's right.
They're the standard of excellence. There's nothing wrong.
Oh, it's personal.
I don't know who Bill Cosby is. I know who Cliff Huxtable is. And I know who Claire Huxtable is. And Felicia Rashad. I've heard some things about Felicia. Not
positive?
More so like she's like very like, you know, to herself in public. Like if you go to her and ask for like a picture.
Okay.
It's like she doesn't have time for you.
Okay. You said it real Cosby. Like I heard No.
I was trying to make sure that it wasn't like on the
he's doing the face and the movements. Nobody can see that. So it's like kind of we're trying to feel him
things.
Out. Like, you know, she kind of
her name
she
ring out in these
what?
Streets.
Yeah, like
back in the day she
Yeah, like what you mean exactly? Like you gotta use your words.
David, you're never coming back, bro.
Okay. So anyway, I'm already liking this. So top four was dope. And we have a lot more coming. We recorded a lot. So I'm excited about that series. I'm excited about that.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
A lot of good things in the works at Fort District.
Yeah, man. We're doing some big things. So Dan is moved, living in a new house.
I am. That's what we had to take a couple weeks off, get our stuff moved from one location to another. And my wife was tired of our bedroom studio where she had to pack for her trips while we were recording. So number three or four on the priority list was my studio to not be in our guest bedroom.
There
so,
you go. It's fair. Mission accomplished.
Congratulations.
We are here.
So as you guys know, Fourth District, this is Off the Record. It's where creatives get together and talk about all things culture, current events, faith, whatever. And we just share our unadulterated opinions about these things. And usually I'm always right. and most of the other people are somewhere close to being within the vicinity of correct. But we usually know that if you agree with me, then you're on it. And so,
as he looks at me, he's over here trying to meme mug me like,
I'm just saying,
I'm just letting you know.
Know your role.
Whose show this is.
Know the protocol. That's all I'm saying. Each individual comes up with a topic, and we discuss that topic. And then, oh, I forgot to tell you.
Okay. D1 is our mascot.
Oh, gosh. So anyway, he has a very unhealthy... You know what? His last song and video
Was popping.
It was pretty dope.
About Sally Mae?
No, the one with Crit and
Against
Lupe.
Against Us remix.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the hook, but like he did his thing on a verse. The video was high energy. You can't. It's hard to really really hate on that song.
Sure.
If you can see Dan's face,
Dan is so disappointed. He just every week he rails on this one artist.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I'm just telling you. Dan's I so can't wait to the
That's
day.
That's like the ultimate shade line. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
His mother probably loves him.
You know,
his mom really likes his music.
We can't
I can't
all be
wait
great.
To the day that brother pulls like a Birdman and comes on set and just is like, keep your name out my your mouth.
I'll treat y'all.
And you know you're from New Orleans.
Hey, yeah. I know he made a lot of. Sally Mae is literally using his song now. So
are they?
Yeah. So he is making.
He's a golden child. Like in terms of he's just gifted. Just everything he.
Hey, he's doing. He did the Undefeated for ESPN.
Right.
Favor.
Come on, somebody. Hey, some things you just can't
Jesus
hate on.
Does love him. That's who does love him.
Don't hate on him, bro.
Favor ain't fair.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, I forgot to tell you that at the end of the episode, I asked everybody for their scratch of the week, which is pretty much just your hero. It's like a way to say who's your person of the week.
Throwing some shine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To something cool.
So it gives you about an hour to think about that.
Thanks.
Dope. Or you could just pass because it's your first time. So
Nah.
Nope. Oh, she has to go. You have to find somebody.
Nah. You got to get in here.
Well, the good news about editing is that you can just wait until I come up with somebody.
Do you want to start this off, Yvette, with your topic?
I can start with my topic.
Okay. Yvette, ladies first.
My topic is the fact that, did you guys hear that Madonna is going to be the key person giving the tribute to Prince?
Madonna.
This week.
Yeah.
On Billboard's awards this Sunday coming up, May 22nd. Any thoughts about that?
Do you think she'll make out with the hologram?
She'll try.
It's possible. Anything like... to stay relevant.
That's literally the first thing that came to my mind. Like, how does this go? Every time she's on stage, she makes out with somebody. Maybe this time they can figure out how to make it work with a hologram and Prince.
Go ahead.
Well, I already got a petition in my inbox to stop. Yes. To actually stop
That's the
Madonna.
Best thing ever. That's
it
the
is the best thing ever.
Did you sign it?
Not yet, but okay. I still got a couple days.
You do.
Yeah. Send it my way and I'll sign it.
I will.
That
post that because
I feel like Prince is giving the side eye right now.
It's disrespectful.
It's because she's. I mean,
I know he wrote a song for her. I think he wrote like a prayer, but
Prince wrote a little bit for everybody, and that made their careers dope. I think Morris Day right to this day owes Prince everything.
True, indeed,
it's possible.
But I do want to hear from Morris Day. I'd rather see Morris Day at the Billboard Awards than Madonna.
Yeah,
I think I'd rather see anyone. Perform.
Madonna plays no instrument.
Yeah, wow.
She doesn't sing.
Break down like why it's
right. So she's not a great singer.
Okay.
She doesn't play an instrument.
Okay.
And I'm just confused to why they thought like she would be the best. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if she pulled like cultural rank.
So that's what I was gonna say. Like, not that I'm not trying to cape for this woman. Because I will sign that petition.
But will you give an email? Will you give an email address, right, or will you just throw like an e-signature on that thing?
No, I will sign email address, and I'll leave a comment too. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when you know you're really fired up, like
committed,
because you don't want it to be anonymous. You want like your name. You want it saved for posterity.
My government name,
absolutely.
All tree of them.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
so no, but I'm assuming. I don't know. There's so many politics obviously involved. Yeah. It's the Billboard Music Awards, whatever. But like, the argument I suppose could be made that she was in that phase of
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like mid to late 80s, right? When like it's Prince, Michael Jackson, and her. Clearly, she is not as talented as Michael Jackson or Prince, but she was there. And she was a superstar. She was like a superstar.
She was a huge star. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so who else from that time is even like, we joke about her not being relevant now, but who else even could we think of
during that era
that had that type of appeal?
Type of pop success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of many people. I can't think of anybody, to tell you the truth. They're all dead.
They are, unfortunately. And so that's,
I wouldn't mind
much
her being a part of a group of people who gave tribute to him.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody, to tell you the truth, that I would say matches the cultural relevance of a Madonna in that
right
span that of era. Time. Yeah.
Right, but. You know,
musically,
to jump back on the other side of that position, I would go with y'all on just on the side of like there's artists that you can directly link like his influence mm-hmm. to,
yeah,
and be like, okay, D'Angelo makes sense.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Not at the Billboard Music Awards,
but I mean,
but I would,
that
I
would
understand.
Be the BET Awards, right? In June.
Right. So not the Billboard from like Moving Units. I get that,
right, but in terms
of like, you know, recent Grammy Award
Absolutely.
Winner. Like it's not even a thing of like, we have to find where D'Angelo is anymore. Yeah. Like he's out there.
I would
Janelle
even go
Monáe
with John,
is one
John
of
Legend.
Yeah, absolutely. But
Justin
I would even
Timberlake.
Go, I would go Justin Timberlake.
Justin
if we're going to go with somebody who I think fits the Billboard Music Awards mm-hmm. and somebody who's talented, can sing and could potentially pull off, especially some of the falsetto high key stuff.
So my thought about Justin Timberlake, right, is while I agree that, mm-hmm. certainly he has like all of those like components working for him that makes sense, but then it's also like if I would put him anywhere, I would go with Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. like that tribute, as opposed to like
Absolutely.
Prince, where because what we're talking about is like musicians as well, because mm-hmm. Prince was not just the vocalist up there, right? He was
Absolutely.
also, he was
he played
giving
all
you,
instruments,
yeah, those
right.
instruments and things like that. And the other piece is that, you know, Prince had such a huge affinity for like Black women musicians and artists that
yeah,
like he
true.
Always
Very
was
true.
Like super, like even if you look at like the last iteration of his band was that Third Eye Blind band, which was just three women.
Justin Timberlake has an affinity for like Black women, Janet Jackson, Super Bowl.
He only likes one titty though. That's it.
Welcome to Off the Record.
It's just, I gotta give it to you. That's what he did.
What the other person, that, like, what he could something. Handle was It's all good. The other, well, what about Bruno Mars? Bruno Mars is a musician.
I would probably go. The reason why mm-hmm. I say the group, mm-hmm. I would say a group is yeah. because you can get guys like you can get a John Mayer or yeah. someone like that on guitar, right, to play mm-hmm. the guitar. You can get a John Legend on the keys. You can get Bruno Mars for the performance bass. I just don't think this is why Prince is such a dynamic person, is because you can't just find one person, and it'll be years before we find another individual like Prince.
Absolutely.
So that's why you probably, but I think they make the worst decision, right? And I think a lot of it plays into today's kind of like affinity for feminism, and I think just the idea of trying to make
a statement
to get a white woman, to me is just like,
yeah.
You think that was a feminism move?
I'm not sure. I would say Billboards to some degree. I wouldn't put it by. I'm not saying that's exactly what's mm-hmm. happening, mm-hmm. but I will say to some degree that plays a part. Like, why couldn't they get a guy? And it was like, well, we probably don't need a guy to do it. We can get some women.
And she's risque.
I understand.
And let's be clear though,
which
like Prince was very gender fluid
right.
in
exactly.
himself. So it's not like
so,
this
yeah.
isn't like, let's find, you know, this isn't a super masculine, like.
But I'm saying get a woman who's dope.
Absolutely.
Like, so you say Janelle Monáe, I'm like, perfect.
No, I feel you. I mean, and there's a list of artists that he like was so far behind. Mm-hmm. I mentioned her because she's probably has more pop appeal than like a Guapalé, who he also was like super behind.
Yeah,
like a
but yeah,
you know,
these are people that you love, I love, but they will never see the Billboard.
That's what
stage.
I'm saying. I didn't offer right. them, but that's why I'm like.
But if Prince could put someone on stage, it would probably be them before
it would definitely
Madonna.
Be Janelle
oh,
Monáe before Madonna.
Absolutely. I mean, he'd probably bring Sheila E. back. Sheila E. be on that stage getting it in, but I mean,
yeah. I don't know. It's just,
I don't know either. I think they played themselves. They shouldn't, they should have just said, tune into the Billboard Awards for a Prince tribute.
That's right.
Yeah, that would have been enough. Then they could have wiggled around that and kind of, you know, if it went left, they could have got some extra people in there. But now you just done went out there and put it on Front Street that it's Madonna. So we all going to be there like, so what you got? You know, she going to have to bring it. I know that much. You don't get to just put her name out there and then think, we tuning in. And it's going to be conversation about that the next day. Absolutely. So Madonna, whatever you're doing right now, I hope she's getting
people have to know that award shows together. Are dangerous in the first place, because that's the one place where the vultures of social media converge.
Come on.
And they're waiting for reasons.
Black Twitter is going to be in the building.
You can't take Prince like that. The monument and the legacy that is Prince, and just do whatever with it.
Yeah, and we're still emotional about it.
Like, absolutely.
It's, you know, it's sensitive right now. So.
Absolutely. But I struggle with...
I'm just going to have visions of Madonna kissing Drake every time that she starts... Oh.
But then another thing we have to consider is Madonna's been quite loose with her sexuality.
With her
cultural like freedom, like her language and how she calls her son the N-word and like the statement she made in what African country was it? She went to
someplace she went to take babies from.
Yeah,
Malawi.
I think it was Malawi.
Malawi, I believe.
And the president was like, "No, we don't need you here. You go home." And she was offended because she didn't get some kind of like red carpet treatment. And
they like, "This Malawi, B, we don't care."
And so, yeah. But I'm like, Beyonce, Prince loves she. He loved himself, Beyonce.
Yes, that would be better.
Stop the tour for a quick second. She'll do it. She for me. Yeah,
be getting them coins.
And she's not messing that up. And even if Black Twitter wanted to go in on Beyonce, like
they would not. Beehive would.
They wouldn't allow that.
Those are two the only things stronger than the Black Twitter.
The Beehive.
So, which I just realized, like 3 weeks ago, it wasn't called the Beehive.
Oh,
because I was
congratulations.
Yeah, I think I got stung for calling it the Beehive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You got stung.
I was like, about this Beehive. And it was like, Beehive?
Show.
Like, New York City.
Excuse me. I was like, I'm sorry.
Beehive.
Oh, I thought it was like B-E-Y, so, you know.
Oh. No, that would be spelled B-A-E, Beehive.
I'm sorry. Look at her. And apparently you're in it, so.
I'm not in the Beehive.
Are you sure?
I am, I'm sure. Although I did go to the formation tour, so.
Did you get in formation though?
I was getting down. It was bomb. I had good seats.
Did you do the little?
So excited.
I know people can't see me,
yeah,
but that's
the. He did the Beyonce Super Bowl halftime.
No,
that's not the uh-oh. That's the
Then and they want it.
Yeah.
Is that the one she almost fell on?
Doing it.
I'm really doing it.
I feel myself when I do that. I feel myself.
Oh my god,
I'm feeling myself. So anyway, alright, so
did Prince have the autopsy done? Did they come back on what he died of? Out of curiosity.
Let's ask Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory said they killed him.
Conspiracy theories.
I don't want to talk about Dick Gregory on air, cause I got too dangerous. Much respect for my elders.
And it's dangerous.
Can't say it, but oh man, off air, I got it.
Off the record.
Oh my god,
Dick Gregory. Nah, he's like one of them. You just like let him say whatever he wants to say.
Man,
he's like Papa.
Yeah,
you want some tea? Child, he been in there all day.
He been there all day. Just go with me.
You know, Granddad.
You know how Pappy do.
You know how he do it. Absolutely. Oh. Just let him do his thing, man.
Oh,
let him do his
thing. But no, I mean, I know that. I hadn't followed up on it exactly. I'm pretty sure something along the lines of just like the Percocet,
like combination, yeah, toxic like combination all this stuff. So,
but yeah, I mean, they know that dude. He never not wore heels and was always gonna like perform like 110%. So like once he hurt his like he broke like his hip some like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He just was in, they said he was just in constant pain for years. So it's, I don't know, man, but I went through a
Prince vortex, like I think 2 days after he died.
Absolutely.
And cause I'm a fan of his music, but I'm not like, my wife is like on, she's like Prince.
It was a problem.
I called her and told her, she was like, don't lie to me.
Yeah.
And I was like,
don't
I'm sorry
lie
for breaking
to
this news to you. Like, I hate to be that one.
My first tweet was like, no, not him. And then I just got, that's all I tweeted. No, not him.
It was like somebody, Twitter. Find Sade. Please find Sade absolutely. And see if she's cool.
Absolutely. Seal Stevie up. Just let's get them everybody,
let's get
everybody
them, all
safe.
Of them. So anyway, I went on this vortex, man. I learned so much about like Prince and the vault that he has. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, can somebody please crack that thing?
Man.
They said it's over 50 fully produced videos. Not like just like we started something and they were like, fully
mixed.
Everything. Mastered and everything. 50. And then that brother has a documentary. And I sat there through Kevin Smith, the director.
I saw that one. Yeah.
And it was hilarious. Even though he didn't have that many favorable things to say about Prince. But it was like, it's Prince. So, yeah. you get it. He fluctuates from, you know, being this very endearing person to being like this, you know, jackass. So it's like, that's Prince.
Yeah.
But, man, I was just sitting there for like literally in my bed with my phone over my face.
Right. And then they talked about like, you know, because you talked about the videos and of course, like the documentaries. And then he talked about how he has enough music that you could release an album from Prince every year until 2118, like another 70 years. Like you can just keep releasing album a year of new material of his.
That's crazy, man.
But it'll never see the light of day, right?
Likely not.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. I'm curious about
LegalZoom needs
to
do. LegalZoom needs to do a commercial about Prince and making wills. Because what's his estate worth?
Oh man, I don't even know.
So sure it's something
insane.
Like 300 people have come forward now saying like, my mom had
family.
This one thing.
Yeah.
Man, you know, it was Prince.
So yeah, we got to learn how to die right.
Absolutely, bro.
Spiritually
absolutely.
And
yeah,
come
physically,
on.
Like dead serious. We die.
Learn
we
don't how have, to die right.
I'm serious. We don't leave enough money to cover like.
I'm about to make a song about that. Learn how to die right.
Well. Publishing, but
Prince didn't have any contracts.
That's so real. I mean, it sounds all, you know, like that vault sounds so like artistically. It sounds that's like
thrilling.
Cool, but
yeah.
but really in the real, it's like though you didn't have children, somebody's like that money doesn't go with you to the grave. You know, those resources don't go to your grave. You could be benefiting
Donald Trump.
You've been somebody.
Yeah, you could leave a small, meager loan of $1 million to get started.
I met Prince once, actually.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Describe that. Here in Atlanta, I saw him. I went, bought tickets to see Musicology.
Nice.
Right,
so
when that
was
happened.
2004,
2005,
yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
And he performed two nights in a row. Mm. And so the second night I went with my boss. I used to work with Robert Townsend. And he was like, yo, we just going to go right on the floor. Like,
that's what's
I'm
up.
Me. So I'm like, cool, I'm not. So I'm just going to like,
Mr. Hollywood
I'm just
shuffle.
Going exactly. Right. I was like, not
I
a problem.
Got no weapon.
Cool. So we go and you know, we watch him perform. We got to stand on the floor. So that was great just to see him two nights in a row. And then afterwards, there was like an after party. And so we're like MVIP and Prince walks out. But first, like Die For You came on. Mm. So it's like this real surreal moment. Oh, and goodness. I just kind of turned to the right and there he was just sort of standing there. Well, you know, he was very tiny, you know, but he was that endearing person that you spoke about. And there were three things I remember. One, his eyes were absolutely beautiful. It was like,
don't look him in his eyes.
Don't look him in his eyes. That's real. That's real talk. Like his eyes were absolutely beautiful. Whatever he was wearing, like aroma wise, he smelled as though he bathed in it, and it was oozing out of his pores. I was like, what is that exactly? You know, it wasn't masculine. It was just heavenly. And then the third thing that just really stood out was how soft his hands were. I'm like, bruh, you just played like all those guitars. And I'm expecting, and I didn't even think that was an issue until I touched him. And then later I'm like, yo, his hands were softer than mine. Like, what part of the game is that? But it was But it's okay.
Yes.
You're Prince.
Because
and I'm sure
Prince.
Somebody probably massaged him immediately after between the show and the whole, and the, you know.
I remember tweeting a picture of Prince, like it maybe is 2 years ago, and it was at some award show, and his brother came on stage with a pair of glasses that had three lenses on it, right? two over the eyes and one over his forehead or something like that.
Right.
And I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever, but Prince can get away with it because he's Prince.
Absolutely.
For years.
And it's still fresh. Like, it's fresh. Like, I'm like...
Like, legitimately fresh.
And legitimately like, yo, could I pull that off? No, but dang.
Yeah.
So anyway. Because even that, like, him smelling like a Harlem sissy, like... Like
it was okay,
and he could do that, and you'd be like, "Yo, that's Prince.
He
smelled good.
He smelled good. Yo, I know that.
That's my dude."
Oh my!
But anyway, so yeah,
oils.
That's it. Oils. Prince oils. Selling Prince oils.
All right, sir. What do you have? What do you bring to the table tonight?
Well, since we're talking music, let's transition right into it. Atlanta just recently went through a weekend of festivals. We had the Shaky Knees Festival.
Shaky Boots, Shaky Knees.
Shaky Knees, Shaky Boots. I don't know. I didn't go, but I heard it was amazing. It was great all over the city.
Bonnaroo Part 2.
Something like that, yes. But then we also had Funk Fest, which was another kind of like R&B hip-hop festival for that was two nights straight. A couple weeks, we'll be having a jazz festival that happens every year around Memorial Day. so I was thinking, because I really wanted to go see some of the acts at Funk Fest, but the way they... They kind of staggered the acts. I was like, I want to see one of the people on Friday, but I like to see two of the people on Saturday, but I really don't want to see the headliner on Saturday. So it's like, I don't want to pay over $200 for me and my wife both to go to this concert and then be pissed off at a couple of the acts. So I was like, so we end up just not going.
Mm.
So I was thinking, if you had a festival and it was called the Dan, Adon, or the Yvette Festival, that would be a terrible name, but what I'm saying is that if you had a festival,
nobody would come.
But if you could pick three headlining old school acts, because the Funk Fest was all old school, mostly old school. I mean, T-Pain is still somewhat making music, and it's quite
some of his new music is actually kind of dope.
T-Pain is. I think the whole auto-tune, death to auto-tune, it did him a little dirty. He had a couple more like standout songs after that, but I think people kind of just... Jay-Z has a habit of ruining careers.
He does.
And so I think... But he's... I actually appreciate him more, and not to spend too much time on this, but when he did NPR's Tiny Desk concert, and I saw him actually holding it down, like singing without the voice box and auto-tune, I was like, this dude's talented.
Mm-hmm. Right. He is.
So, so yeah. So anyway, if you had to pick three to four artists, groups, or whatever... that were to perform at your festival, they had to be old school. Like, and when I say old school, maybe no hit records within the last 5 to 10 years. Who would they be?
So let me ask you a clarifying question.
Yes.
Are we assuming that these acts have aged?
Yes.
And they are at, like, they are in their current status.
Yeah, I'm talking about right
so
now.
It's
I'm not talking about
Jodeci,
like
Jodeci, who is cracked. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, man, I don't want to see Jodeci now. I want to see Jodeci in the but I don't want to see them in 2016.
I debated about putting Jodeci on my list, even cracked out Jodeci.
Because
I'm like, the songs still hit. I'll sing them.
But they still do. like, that's the problem, bro. Like, I just don't
Did you
know.
See their most recent video? The
no.
one where they're in the snow? But did you hear the song? Are you familiar?
I did.
This song,
he doesn't look impressed.
I'm gonna put my wife out there. My wife literally, she cracked a tear when she heard the song.
Okay. Oh, wow. I need to look this up.
I laughed so hard. I said, "Are you serious right now?" She was like, "Oh my God, it just reminds me of just when I used to love them back." And I was like, "Stop it right now! Stop it!
Bestie.
Like, get it together! get it together!" And so, anyway,
try it out.
So the video, I'm serious. Quick, take your shirt, wipe that face, or something. But anyway, they had a video to the song. This song is classic Jodeci.
Yes, it's with a lot of studio magic.
Tons of studio magic.
That's funny.
So it's evident when you hear like some of the live performances, it's like, ooh. So anyway, you watch the video, it's almost like you can't distinguish any of the members from one another because they all look like they've just been drinking and smoking for the last 20 years.
It's a lot of life. Time. Just a lot of life all over
they
their face.
They look all in struggle faces, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so bad for them, bro.
Yeah.
So anyway, they almost made my list. But yeah, so yeah, they're in their current state as it is
right now.
I
see. That's interesting. All right.
I may even let you give a hologram, just one hologram.
Okay.
So maybe Prince, you know what I'm saying? The hologram of Prince. I'll go to a Prince hologram
Word.
Show. Yeah. I'll do that quick.
Absolutely.
So, Dan, you got somebody?
So, off the top of my head, I think, so when I was coming up in high school, I like because I don't have like all the people that listen to that did hip hop are still making music, so they don't fall into this
Coolio.
Qualifier.
Coolio's one of them.
I actually thought about Coolio, but I knew you'd make fun of me about it.
Tried to blow you
I didn't.
Show tried to blow you.
So,
out.
No, I'm just helping my man out.
I did. It was my first cassette. So what?
Help you
out. But so I will say, Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Would probably be like the headliner, like Eddie Vedder doing like an acoustic set, probably. And then I would say Dave Matthews. And because literally I had the chance to be on stage with him when he did the Final Four like free concert series downtown Atlanta a few years ago.
Yeah.
And literally one of the greatest performances I've ever seen, been a part of. And then the third is just because this kind of falls in that same category. Does Outkast count? I mean, can I say Outkast?
It's been 5 years since the group.
I haven't thought about that because, you know what? I may have to put them on my list now.
Outkast,
you
know? Totally.
I didn't even think about those Outkast. Would
be, I know that doesn't really fit like a target demographic, right? Like if I'm putting together a festival, like potentially Eddie Vedder and Outkast really don't mesh
very
well.
Oh, no, mine's is quite schizophrenic.
Okay,
bro.
So, all right, so that's mine.
I think people
that's
would mine. Never come to my concert. They'd be like, what's happening?
So,
like,
yeah,
what's wrong?
Eddie Vedder, Outkast, Pearl Jam, and Dave Matthews.
Wow.
Okay. Yvette, do you have a list for us?
I have a complete list. I like, just because I thought they were a good band back in the day, Mint Condition.
Mint Condition is amazing. And they still...
They're on my list, actually.
They're on your list?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Because they're killing it right now.
They, yeah, they
like,
do.
Like,
are they still making...
They
okay.
Well, they do these shows. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, 3 weeks ago, they were at... Center Stage. They were down
really?
At...
Really? Which proves the point, right?
Yeah.
The fact
with Martha
that
Ambrosia,
still...
I think it was.
Yeah, it was Martha Ambrosia
and Mint Condition.
Absolutely. And the Stokely lives here, actually.
Okay.
So they... Anyway, continue. They're on my list.
Cool. I had Wyclef.
Just Wyclef?
Yeah, just okay. Wyclef. I think he's the only one who would show up.
Fair.
Can't Fair. Waste my money.
Fair. Because I almost thought about putting the Fugees, but I was like, I don't know if Lauren's going to do this to me. I don't know what's going to happen.
So this Wyclef, if she shows up, see, this is how you market. You don't reveal that. And then if she shows, everybody's happy.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Right? Everybody's happy. If she runs out.
That's if her and Wyclef don't have a boxing match on stage.
Yeah, but yeah. Clef, I like Clef.
Pros doesn't even have to show up, though. For real. He doesn't.
Just throw John Forte Clef. In there.
Exactly.
Just put him in the back, low light.
Low light.
I
don't remember him beating this crap.
He's on beat. Daddy damn.
You know what I mean? Just
oh my gosh. That's
communicate
hilarious.
to the camera people.
Oh my gosh.
Not to show.
Is that it?
See.
So it's they got one more. Do you have another one?
Well, I had this on the list, but you said the last 10 years and I think they just came out with something. I wouldn't mind seeing Missy.
Okay. Yeah. Missy.
Miss
I think
Tamina,
Missy. Yeah.
But Missy, she came out with something like recently, so I might have to move that off. I have Sade.
Sade. But I don't know if she makes the list because Sade is just like
she only releases every like 10 years. So yeah.
So now you're making me change my list now because I feel like I should put Sade on my list too.
No, you got to come up with something else. Something okay, original. I'll and then my list is really long. Like these tickets going to be. What about Eminem?
Nah, I don't think he fought because he would have been number one on my list.
He's not in the last 10 years?
Nah, he's doing tours like headlining tours right now. Just
his shitty LP2 came out.
Yeah, he's 2 years
ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm done.
All right, Adon.
Man, I was trying to put all this together.
I'll go mine.
All right,
mine is the most schizophrenic. Of
okay.
All.
Okay.
So. Opening act, just so people can come late. They're like, you don't have to show up.
This is for show.
The show's going to be front and center.
I'm going to be there.
And there's going to be a group of us there, but everybody don't have to show up.
Are you putting yourself on the list?
No, the cross movement. The cross movement is going to be there. You got to have the cross movement come rock it out. I was the biggest stan of the cross movement, bro.
I respect that.
I'm like,
I could feel that.
Was it cross movements and grits? Were like they the two? They're like,
I like the grits, but it was nowhere close to the cross movement.
Okay. Yeah.
Like
I
would drive
that.
Miles to go see the cross movement. Bro.
I absolutely respect
bro,
that.
Bro, no joke.
Yeah, I respect
no joke.
That.
So they're, but I know nobody's gonna show up for the cross movement. So they're like the opening act. Like, if there's multiple stages, we're going to give them the faith stage.
I was about to say, just like a normal festival, you're going to get this Christian stuff out the way really early in the day. Before we get to the depravity at the end of the night.
At the end of the night, we're going to have all kind of
God, doctrine. I need you to bless this up front. And,
up front and then the revelry starts. So cross movement is definitely, if we can get them jokers to
that's a good one.
To agree on something mm-hmm. and get them to come through, that's going to be a dope show. Then after that, I will go with, yeah, Outkast. If Outkast is,
heck yeah.
See my group that I was going to put was, rest in peace, my man Fife, Tribe.
Absolutely. Mm.
Tribe would have been on that list. And I think I still may do. If I can get like a whole Native Tongues, which is like the De La Soul, the De La Soul, the Leaders of New School, Jungle Brothers, and Tribe Called Quest to just hit the stage and walk, bro, just be my festival.
Then you get Queen Latifah in with that. Like, you get everybody.
The flavor unit.
Absolutely.
So I'll do that. I would do that. So that would be. But then my next two are the real reasons why I'm showing up. Mm. I mean, after I, you know, the Crossman, of course. New Edition is like,
yeah,
and I don't even need Bobby Brown.
I was about to say,
I don't need Bobby.
Yeah, yeah, you gonna take Johnny?
I can take Johnny. I'll take Johnny.
That's what's up.
But BBD got to be there. Everybody from BBD got to be there because yes. we got to do Poison and do me and Above the Rim and all that stuff.
Yes.
So New Edition, and Ralph can do his two hits. Give us his two hits. Johnny can sing crazy for a couple.
I'm rated R. No, I'm sorry.
That's it. You need a man with
sensitive.
I think it's about nobody's rocking with us right now. No. It's just us three.
I'm sorry.
And then last, I have to go with Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder's closing out the night.
You know, he played in Atlanta last week.
Did he?
It was a private event for Salesforce. But
Salesforce.
Yep. That's what they're doing. Salesforce. Yep.
Just flying Stevie in.
We use them at my job.
Printing money. They are printing money. You think Chick-fil-A money is good?
How can a brother get like just a ticket? I just wanted to walk through the door, just like sneak me in, bro. It's like
steal
somebody.
A bag.
It was floor seats only at this thing,
bro.
So can I do a quick Stevie story?
Like, okay, please.
Really quick Stevie story. I went.
Is he really blind?
Him.
He can just go.
My name blind man.
I don't know. After the conversation we had before we started recording, y'all would know who's blind and who's not. But no.
Proceed.
Yeah. But anyway, so went to see Stevie live. This was probably like 2008 or whatever he was at. He was at Phillips or whatever. And so he does, you know, he does his songs or whatever. He's killing it, right? And it's the most, you know, it's just a beautiful reflection of humanity in the audience. Because mm-hmm. you're like, yeah. it's black, white, Asian, Latino, all various ages or whatever. And you're just like, this is heaven. This is what heaven looks like. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, Stevie, kind of like Prince, but more like Steve. Stevie has a problem with trying to rap sometimes, right? Like, just
and dance a little bit. And he may try to get up and dance. Like,
yeah. As talented as he is, as such amazing as he is,
he doesn't have close friends.
He doesn't.
And that's evident by the braids, bro.
No, yes, the receding hairline, all of that. But yeah, so anyway.
He doesn't know.
But his friends do, and that's what.
Yeah, you got yes men around you.
Yeah, I don't know why you're talking to Stevie. Still pulling them. Stevie just got some twins recently, like in the last 4 years. Like, Stevie is still laying it down. But real talk. Man. Nonetheless, so he gets into these modes where he like wants to rap. And anybody who's heard Conversation Peace album, they know it's not good, mm-hmm. right? So anyway, he starts playing. He's just like, man, you know, I'm in Atlanta. Where the rappers at, right? He's like, where the rappers at? And I'm like, I'm here. I'm a rapper.
Come on, identity.
And so he keeps saying it. And I'm with my girl at the time. And she's like, you want to go down there? I was like, I think I do. Like, that's Stevie Wonder.
I
like hesitate for like maybe 30 seconds because I'm not close. Like, I did not pay a lot. I'm like, I'm in the back, but I'm just like.
And your girl's secretly mad at you. Like, why can't we be in closer?
Yeah. She's judging me, but that's you why know, you're not but going. I got her there. She's there. Like, got her to the show. Anyway, so he keeps saying it though, like, oh man, like, he's really serious. It wasn't just like, right. So then I start to see people moving, like like going. I'm like, okay, I gotta go. Like, I gotta go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I move. I'm like, excuse me, get by people. You know what
come
saying?
On, he's like, I'm about to get involved.
So I start, I walk down.
The Holy Spirit's calling me.
I walk down the steps. You know what I mean? I'm in like triple Z. You know what I'm saying? And I like walk down. I get to the part, and he's like, no, where really? Where the rappers at? Where the rappers at? And I'm like, I'm starting to get these grandiose visions. I'm like, man, I'm about to get up here. I'm about to rock for Stevie Wonder.
What verse?
Of course he's going. Yeah, I'm thinking what verse I'm going to do, because I'm going to act like it's a freestyle, but it's absolutely something I've written. Oh, man. And so I get by, and I move by one person, like, because now they're like, the security people are letting me by, like they're in the yellow jackets, mm-hmm. and they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, they're really letting me get by. So now I'm thinking, like, man, how much money will he sign me for? Because I know he got some deal, some situation going on there. So I'm moving out, or, you know, I jump over like the little barricade part, and I'm like, I'm on the floor level. I get right to the side of the barricade, right? And he's just like, I'm saying, man, we got the rappers. And I look on stage, and there is like 8 people up there at this point.
Yeah.
And I make the turn to go right up that stairs. And that is when he said, that's when the security people stop. And they're just like, too many. I am the next person to go up on the stage. And I'm like, yo, like, please, like, I just walked like so far. I can't walk back.
I can't walk back
like knowing that like I got this close. And he's just like, man, I'm sorry. You know, we're on a tight budget. Like, this isn't, time frame or whatever. So in politeness, they show me another way out so I don't have to walk back in front of everyone. Defeated. I didn't get to rap for Stevie. I could overhear the other rappers up there. They were garbage, of course. Oh, and I'm just sitting here like, man, that was it.
So were they rapping over his, like, him playing?
He was playing, like, yeah, I can't remember what song it was, one of the, you know, million hits that he was doing. And he just like vamped out the music and was just letting these people go. I will shout out, there's a dude named Anon who I went to Morehouse with. He was up and he killed it. Like, he was I was like, at least somebody was up there. And he didn't get signed. I saw him like next last week. Like, so I felt better.
But he
about
had a couple more Twitter followers.
Yeah. And he can say, I rocked with Stevie Wonder. Like, yeah. So, yeah, man. So if you had Stevie at your show, I would definitely try to recreate that moment. Get on that stage with Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, I definitely. That's I'll be the first story. One on stage. And I wouldn't let go of the mic. I'd be like, there's nobody else coming up. Sorry.
Don't hesitate. Absolutely. That's the moral of that story.
I was behind him in the airport.
30 like, seconds. That's all.
30 seconds.
Yeah. I was behind him in the airport the checking in through security.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this bodyguard that was extremely huge. But Stevie's not small.
No, he's not.
Like, he's a big
not
dude.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but like, even he's tall. He's like 6'2" or like.
Wow, is he that tall?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's gained some weight. But,
sure.
But yeah, and I was trying to act like I wasn't like a stan. I didn't say nothing to him.
Yeah.
I just don't say nothing to celebrities when I see him.
Yeah.
But I stared pretty awkwardly because I was like, that's Stevie.
Yeah.
Like, that's Stevie, man. Bruh.
You take it in.
Like, I got married to your song, Ribbon in the Sky.
Mm-hmm. You gave him that look.
I gave him that look like this. Like,
he couldn't see it, but you still gave him that look. I respect it.
I was like, your bodyguard, translate this feeling that I'm having to Stevie when y'all get a chance, bruh. So, that was it. That was my moment.
Man.
That was your moment. I saw him.
I was behind him. Like,
I
took a picture of him too. I took a picture of the back. It was weird.
Got
it was like,
to do it.
I just to prove that, I was like, yo, let me take a picture of the back of his head and his bodyguard. So
Stevie Wonder.
That is awesome.
So yeah, but Don, so let's wrap this up.
Yeah,
with
man.
You.
It's weird when Dan was talking, like right before he said Outkast, I thought of somebody. Then you said Outkast, and then my mind went there, and I do not remember who that act was. Mm-hmm. But real quick, just if I went with 3 or 4, I would, you know, to repeat, you know, of course I had Mint Condition on my list. I threw Outkast on my list. I had De La, because De La, mm-hmm. although they're putting out new music, they haven't put out anything in like 5 years. And so I'd have had De La. My one that like is personal for me, I don't know if y'all, there was a group connected with Missy called Playa. Do you remember Playa? Cheers to you.
Yeah. Cheers to you. For giving me a chance,
yes.
I'll be your angel.
There you go.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
that is it. Players first. They only really have one song. Album.
Yeah, but that,
but that whole album is actually killer because the production on it is like little known fact, and it is partially my hologram too because it was three dudes. They were all from Kentucky actually, but the one dude named Smokey, he died, but Smokey actually continued producing under the name. He became Static. Static Major or whatever. He ended up producing Lollipop for Lil Wayne. He ended up producing all of this like other music for people.
Gotcha.
And but that first album is crazy. If y'all just go back to listen to that record,
play. You must have really loved a girl during that album, because that album, like, who was that girl I don't think so.
I just think it's dope. Like, I think what I liked about it is that it was like. Like, you're in that phase where you're like, I want to like R&B, but I want to feel like a man still, listening to R&B. Like, I don't want to be out here all sexy flexity, you know what I'm saying? That type of music. So, yeah, play.
To digress just a little bit about the whole Prince and tributes, I think the Trey Songz tribute was probably one of the worst things that ever happened to
him. I think Prince agreed.
I was about to say, Prince. Is there a gif of his face? Like, when
Trey's
up? Because that needs to.
I have a couple of that, like, but Prince his giving
face.
Shade?
But no, that particular face he gave Trey Songz when the camera cut to him. Because that was an unauthorized, like tribute. Like, he just said, oh, I'm going to throw Purple Rain in my song. And Prince had this look like.
Disrespectful. Disrespecting me right now.
Yeah, like, no.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, that is, man.
Word is bond. All right, well, that's it. That's it for the, I think we have some pretty good festivals popping off.
Yeah, I think people should, like, comment, let us know, you know what I'm saying, who would be on their top four, you know, who would be on their festival list or whatever.
Or whose festival they will choose to pay $25 to get into.
Mine's Stevie off the strength of Stevie. You got to pay at least 50.
True.
Depends on how many sets if he does two sets, I might.
Did I put Outkast on my list? I can't remember.
You stole it from me, yeah.
Yeah. So they're leaving your
Let's
festival.
Just be clear.
So
I'm gonna throw Slick Rick on mine. That's what I'm gonna do. Just to close it all.
Well,
out.
I was like
he crossed Slick. My mind.
Yo, he was at the airport. I walked by. So I was posing against the wall.
Show sees a lot of people.
I do. Yeah. So I was on your boy, I was on a flight to Netherlands. Okay. To Amsterdam with Coolio. It was rough.
Man's homie.
It was rough with your boy. He had like this hat that he cut a hole out of the top of the hat. Mm-hmm. And had like, it was rough.
To my Coolio. Yes. Okay. To let his pointy joints go.
Yeah, to let his pointy joints stick out the hat. And I was just like, oh, no.
He's hurting these days.
It was strong. I was like, bruh, don't do this. And the cats I was with, they were like, yo, I'm about to take a picture with Coolio. Come on, man. I was like, I'm not doing this because you guys are aiding the situation.
Aiding and abetting.
You're enabling him. Don't do it. But anyway, I was real quick. So I was just, I mean, nothing big. I was posted up against the wall waiting for my flight. And I see this dude mobbing through, like, real cool with the eye patch. I'm like, cats don't walk around with eye patches and just gold chains.
Man.
And I was like, could it be?
Oh, man.
And the closer he got, I was like, what am I going to say?
Absolutely.
Rocking back and forth.
I was like, yo, how am I? Because I'm not going to, like, engage him in no conversation. I just want to just get a man some love. Let him know, like, oh, got a fan.
No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Got a fan in Concourse A. 3, A3.
Right.
Jeez. Post that picture. So people can see. No, show Coolio. That's how he was looking, bro. It was rough.
You know, he's touring.
Check this out.
He's also touring right now. He's going to be in Atlanta July 16th.
Pop that picture up real quick. Oh.
God, that
the collective
that's some
grown.
Stevie Wonder stuff right there.
It was bad, but I know he was going somewhere to perform and he was going to make some money.
I'm sure.
Because Netherlands was probably like, yo, Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise is just popping this year. So anyway, Slick Rick eventually, all I said was Slick Rick the Ruler.
That's all you got to say.
And he was like, show. He said something like, just a word or something.
Yeah,
just came
yeah. Some old,
like,
school. Yeah. Some old school. That's what he got.
Get the head nod.
But I didn't say it like Slick Rick the Ruler. I was cool with it. I was like, yo.
Because if Slick Rick is there, you know, like, Dougie Fresh has to come as well. You know what I mean? So they can do 6 minutes your all.
Right.
Like, that's all you got to do.
Have a seat. Like, he's going to be on his way anyway. Shortly.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, bro. All right. So cool. Our festivals is popping. Mine's the best. Dan, let's get it.
All right, final topic. You know, I thought about this. I figured we'd just kind of do a softball and end this thing kind of on a positive note.
Okay.
So let's talk about transgender bathrooms and Obama using executive orders to rule this country.
Okay.
Who wants to start?
Not it. Not it.
I think you might have to, like, you gotta to set it up a little bit.
Yeah, you got
to.
Okay. I'll do it less biased. So basically,
you can keep it biased. I just need more like detail around.
Okay, so the last couple of weeks, the news, every news outlet has been kind of talking about. So North Carolina, in response to kind of a lot of pressure in the state, has basically said, "Hey, we are going to maintain bathrooms, and there is no this like what sex do you identify with, whatever sex you are is the bathroom that you will use, and this is specifically in schools and locker rooms." And so basically they passed this law, and then in response Obama has come out now and used an executive order. I think it's a executive order like 6 or something like that, or rule 6, that basically says whatever gender you associate with, you can use in a locker room and a bathroom in a public school. And if the school itself does not abide by this rule, then federal funding can be pulled from that school.
Yeah, it's a lot, man. So,
so you have a suit and a countersuit. Because North Carolina mm-hmm. has then sued the federal government as a result.
Well, they sued mm-hmm. first, and then the government sued them back.
Gotcha. Government yeah. clapped back.
Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch showed up and was like,
"Loretta ain't been playing.
I'm
She's
about
like,
to say everything to y'all about everything." Yeah.
So I think obviously, this is the new.
It's the new civil rights agenda. I guess
right.
You could say.
This is the new movement. Like right first, it was gay marriage, and now this is the next thing on the docket.
What you'll find interesting, and this is just from political, like especially liberal political folks that I've either known or I know individuals who know them have said like 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. When people were lobbying for gay marriage, and people would say, you know what's going to come next. They're going to try to, I guess you could say, deconstruct not only just marriage, but the idea of gender identity, gender roles, and things like that. And people, even liberals back then, were like, no, that will never happen. That's way too far. And we're here. Now, but we also see that there are people who, like, I was shocked to see, even with the Target petitions, that there's a lot of people who were like, nah, you know what? We're not having this.
So that was the original impetus,
right?
Was Target, North Carolina responding to Target making their bathrooms gender neutral, which, so in general, if you're a private company, I would like to stand up and say you have every right to do whatever you want to in your establishment. So Target, rock on. You want this to be the thing that like transcends you past being a business that sells lots of things. Mm-hmm. And you want your bathrooms to be gender neutral? Cool, I can rock with that. What I'm not cool with is the furthering of the federal government to step in and say, and really, honestly, the state government. So what I'm if the
well,
state
I'll
government
say-
is at least elected, this executive order is no one has a say in it except the president himself,
right.
Which I think is super wrong.
What I'll say is I disagree with the. I mean, I agree with the, I would say I, from what I know of the bill and what I read with the bill, I would support the bill, right?
Okay.
But what I will say is it's not shocking to know that this is what's happening. It's not shocking to see that there's some sort of federal legislation that's trying to force the state to do this because it's just natural order of things. If we're going to legislate, you know, the gay marriage and things like that, then it's only right that it's only logical, I guess you can say, that the next progression is being able to legalize folks to identify with who they want to, how they want to, and then execute that by saying, I want to go to bathrooms or locker rooms that I feel like I identify with. So that doesn't shock me at all, though I would say I don't agree with it. It just doesn't shock me. Now, I'm not of the, I don't disagree with it for reasons of like pedophilia and predatorial. I just don't agree with it because what I see the danger and the damage of classical understandings of gender identity. I think it's very, I think it's a slippery slope. I think we're beginning to treat things that I would say should be mental and psychological, I could say disorders, if I can be brave enough to say that. We're treating them in I don't think we're treating them properly, right? So I guess I'll just say that and allow other folks to talk. Because it's, I know there's a whole lot.
Yeah, it's a whole lot.
It is a whole lot.
I mean, I guess I can't say that I would like support the bill, probably. Not, I mean, I think from my personal stance, I think that it's fine for I'm a federalist in the sense that states have the right to like govern themselves in a way. At the same time, I can't ignore like the history of this country and recognizing that executive orders have absolutely ensured freedom on behalf of many marginalized people, me being a descendant of some of those protected classes and that protected group. And so there's that tension of like, yo, I get it. Like states should have a level. We're a United States, right? So states are supposed to be able to govern themselves in certain ways. But yet at the same time, we're united in the sense that there's certain protections that should be ensured to everyone or whatever. We get into this place of like, what are those protections and how do we feel that those should be, you know, enforced or given or allocated or whatever, I guess.
Sure.
I guess, but you know, in general, I guess, I think part of it has to do with the positioning made around why these things are in place, because a lot of the rhetoric and the positioning does come across as fear mongering. It does come across.
Absolutely.
Not even come across. That is the position taken to give it oftentimes, is to say that, hey, we need to protect against this case scenario happening. Fewer vocal people were making the case in the way that you did show. They were more people making it in the sense of, yo, this rampant pedophilia, like that's just what we got to ensure about. Yeah. I don't want my daughter or my son to have to share a public restroom with someone who, you know,
absolutely
has these nefarious desires or whatever,
but that's the conservative way of like dealing with most issues, and I think that's very problematic.
I do think that's problematic,
and why they tie it to Christianity, because the Christians just get lazy in their response and say, you know what, that's what we're going to do because of pedophiles, because of predators.
You
know,
absolutely. So you go to that place where you're like, one, pedophiles are using bathrooms all, like, it's not stopping.
Right.
If you're concerned about the dude going into the girl's bathroom, what do you care about your son's? He's also going in that restroom too. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's no like level of like protection that you're actually putting in place on that level or whatever. So I think the fear argument deconstructs the more you place it under that magnifying glass. When you go to other routes of just, whether it's the source of your conviction saying, I just have an issue, or I feel as though the definition of gender and the gender fluidity is, we're not wrestling with that in a way that is compassionate, but also legal, but also protective of everyone's concerns and rights. That's a different conversation that I think that I'm open to continuing to have. But as that law was written and as that law was positioned and as that law was marketed, I couldn't get behind that, or the Mississippi bill which is even worse than the North Carolina one.
I want to let Yvette give her opinion real quick before, because I want to follow up with what you're saying there. But
yeah, also too, just to kind of like piggyback off what you were saying, I understand the argument that it's like fear mongering, right? Like when you're talking about like kids and pedophilia, not to say that it's not a concern at all. Right. Mm-hmm. Like we can't do like the pendulum swing way over here. Like it's outside the realm of possibility. But like when it comes to adults, as a woman, I just don't want to see you in my bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I ain't scared of a pedophile, but men rape women every day. Not saying that a guy, you know, who self-identifies would necessarily do that, but I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, it's that moment. Well, let's sit down and talk about how everybody can walk away feeling honored. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Instead of it just being boom. The other thing that is very curious to me is when you're talking about children and just bullying in general, like to just be like, yo, it's going to be like this tomorrow. It would be kind of like abortion is illegal tomorrow. Like when you do things that are really quick, like how, and I don't know how quick this is going to happen, but how does that play out for the children and what their experience is like, you know? I don't know how many transgender children there actually are, like in, you know, high school, in a particular high school, in a particular city someplace. Like you might go to a school where that's just not the case at all. You may have children who might identify as lesbian or gay, but not necessarily transgender, you know?
I think part of the reason why I think this is a very dangerous proposition and just the idea of rewriting gender identity or erasing it altogether is that, and the reason why I think it's more of a psychological tension than probably anything is because we're not allowing people the freedom to wrestle with issues. Like, I mean, we all know women who didn't grow up wanting to wear dresses they didn't like dolls, right? And they didn't like, but they like ball, they like sports, they probably like guns, all the things that apparently should be done with boys, right?
Right.
Now, and you know, maybe 8 years ago and beyond that, those women would have had the freedom to wrestle with their sexuality without being forced to say, no, you're actually this. I think now, it's not even really a question of whether or not, you know, you're just a tomboy. Now it's like, you know what? You're gay, and or you were born to be a guy. And the thing that alarms me most is that parents are making decisions for kids
so early in
a lot of these kids. And you know, obviously people can take statistics and construe them to fit their argument. So I'm not saying that whatever article I just read the last 3 weeks and it says that these kids are growing up regretting these decisions and the suicide rates, because I'm pretty sure there's another article saying, oh, they're perfectly fine.
Amazing,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but if there's ever like a large alarming rate of anybody who struggles with these decisions, that we're showing that these kids are growing up and they're like, I really wish I didn't do this. To me, that just shows a lot of, it just, to me, first of all, I don't think kids in the first place, that's my biggest issue. Now, adults, do your thing. You're an adult. You make this decision and you're at a point that you make decisions that's going to last your life and you can live with it and you can deal with it. But to make these decisions in children who don't even know, like,
they don't have enough information.
Yeah, not even that. It's just, they don't even know what underwear they're going to wear tomorrow. Like, it's just simple things. I think that's troubling to me.
Me too.
Yeah, and I know you want to jump back in, Dan. I will say also, like, my experience partially comes from two places, one of which was some time I spent out in the Bay last year, and the places I were at was super progressive, mm-hmm. super whatever. So all the bathrooms were gender neutral. Like, it was, you just went into the bathroom and you're like,
either go at home or this is not what it's.
Yeah, like it's just you go or whatever.
So I don't have a problem with that.
And it was no thing at all. Like, it was absolutely no thing at all. It was like you walked in and it was like, oh, there's a woman, because I don't kick it in restrooms. Period.
And that's
and I just want to be clear about like when we talk through these things. I'm not I want you to jump back in, but this part needs to be said because it's not said in the conversations that we have.
Absolutely.
Is that no one is just like, it's not no one, but there's a very small amount of just people who are just like, yo, I'm just going to kick it to talk or to hang out or to
some people do kick it.
Women do.
Some
women
do.
Kick it.
Women some
kick
do.
It.
Yeah.
Some women
and
do.
And so established. Because I wouldn't have a problem. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish. Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem. Like I think I've said this before, maybe on this podcast somewhere. I don't have a problem with creating gender neutral, or even a third option, like male, option. Female, and then
keyword being option.
Yeah, like I don't have a problem with that. But when you're forcing people, yeah. I think that's a problem. But it's not even like my argument, and as I said before, is not even the idea of bathrooms. Like mm-hmm. that's small potatoes to me. It's the greater issue of deconstructing anything identity. That yeah that has to do with the class, and that's the classic tenet of progressives is that we always have to be progressing. The problem with conservatives is we've always have to conserve. Mm-hmm. And there's some things that need to progress and there's some things that need to be conserved. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem, I will say this, within Christianity, I think there has to be, and I think Russell Moore touched on this, there has to be a better job of churches creating a more healthy framework for people to reevaluate, better yet, what it means for, like, what are gender roles? I think gender roles in America are very problematic. Like, to expect women to only do these types of things and to expect only men to do these types of things. And a lot of that stuff is perpetuated in our churches. And I think that does cause a lot of the tension that brings about these types of things and a lot of tension that people have with Christians and how we view things, even to the roles that women play in church, right? Yeah. But the thing that I don't think needs to be progressed is identity. To say that I feel like this, I think it's a very slippery slope. And I know there's all metaphors fall apart, but then we get into like the racial
Rachel Dolezal, the transracial,
yeah. Dolezal, and there are many people who begin to just identify as things that we know. It's like we've seen. I think it's a family in Canada. Their child wants to be raised as a mammal or something like that, and they're letting her just explore. I'm like, come on, like there's.
And I also want to be the other part of it that I think is like really clear is like for us and for me. I'll just talk for myself. For me to recognize that I'm like a cis hetero male.
Absolutely.
And so what I'm saying from that perspective is that we were born with genitalia
uh-huh.
that matched the chromosomal makeup that we have uh-huh. that matched our mental uh-huh. outlook of who we were. That is how the majority of
yes.
human beings are born. That being said, there are people where one of those three things or two of those three things mm-hmm. don't align that way. And they are in this position of being like, yeah, it's not that simple, guys. Like, yeah. Like it's not just this, just kind of get over it. Or like, just be, you have a penis. So why don't you just go there? I don't feel like I belong here. And my body is growing in such a way, evolving in such a way that my body is changing and evolving in ways that I no longer can go there, or I won't be able to go that mm-hmm. you know, like there's these things that are like in flux. And so it's a very interesting position, I think, that obviously I'm glad I was, you know, born the way I was and everything like that. Absolutely. And I have a level of comfort mm-hmm. in that. But where we talk about where I think the tension comes in between whether it's, you know, progressive or conservatives is, you know, how do we cover that, but also, like you said, acknowledge rightful positioning and dignity of like, hey, I'm not that way. So do we change all of this for this smaller group? Mm-hmm. How do we acknowledge that? Because we
yeah.
also
yeah.
have a federal mandate to protect the rights and dignity of all people, all citizens. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I just want to be very clear that it's not like we're talking very simply about it, but it's because we all fall in line along these ways. And so
totally agree with you. And I think that's actually leads perfectly into what I wanted to come back to, which is this idea of the rights of an individual and the rights of a community. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think this is actually the far more interesting topic to me of talking about rights and then talking about, you know, the powers of the government in this play, because I realize like, you know, a lot of my worldview has been deconstructed as being a part of this company, as being a part of living in Atlanta. In a million ways, I think my world's kind of been shattered in great ways and in hard ways. But for us, as we talk about this, when is it the right to say like the rights of this group of people should outweigh the rights of this individual? And how do we That's fair. How do we kind of dig into that, and how should other people dig into, like,
you That's know, been the age old question for
sure.
Yeah.
For years, you have, you know, Bentham, you have the Immanuel Kant argument, you have utilitarianism mm-hmm. versus kind of like the libertarian view.
Michael Sandel's Justice talks all about this. Right. We talked about this book before. But.
And so I would go where Michael Sandel goes with it. You have an Aristotelian perspective where you have a natural law of things. Now, granted, those things they get misconstrued, they get twisted, they're out of whack, but we just don't begin to change definitions to fit the universal because a group of people believe something or because an individual says that I have my own right. At some point, there has to be some sort of natural way that people see this. There's a utility for this particular object or thing. And if we can agree on if that is so, then what is the best function of that individual or mm-hmm. object, I guess you can say. And he does a much better job. Obviously, he's one of the world's leading philosophers at Harvard and all that stuff.
Can you repeat his name in the book
Michael
as well?
Michael Sandel. But it's many different books.
Book called Justice.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He has also a book called What Money Can't Buy. And he teaches one of the most popular classes at Harvard. But it's one of the things that I read a lot of Chesterton. I read a lot of, I like to think I read a lot of Sandel. And I'm actually trying to read Ethics by Aristotle right now. It's pretty dense, but it's difficult. But anyway, when you read that, I believe in the idea of, I believe there's a natural law of things. Like obviously I don't believe that everybody agrees with me on that. But I do feel like, as I explained before, there's a standard by which humans should see things. I'm not saying we do.
But we should.
But there's a flaw in every philosophy. But I believe that his philosophy has the least amount of flaws.
Sure.
Let me ask this, Dan, in terms of what do you think? So, because we're talking about kind of like the idea of, state rights.
Mm-hmm.
Executive. Federal powers. Yeah, like they literally the executive branch and potential, overreach as we're discussing, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
If there are issues, well, obviously the bill was written in a way in which, there's tons of people who live in North Carolina who are like, yo, I don't agree with this, mm-hmm. but I live here. And there's people who are like, yeah, absolutely. This is exactly what I want out mm-hmm. of my local government or whatever, or my state government. How do you feel? What should be the appropriate action on from the marketplace in that sense?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like how do you feel about, Bruce Springsteen canceled his show in North Carolina, stated it was because of his opposition to this or whatever. And you have people there who are like, yo, like, I just want to see Bruce Springsteen. Like, why?
Now I got to drive to
this is
Virginia,
not cool or whatever.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
or my tickets though, right?
And then there's,
who I see about that.
I think, the NFL has talked about like
moving the, or not the
no
draft.
Next year's
All-Star, I think.
NFL Super Bowl, I thought was
there's something in North Carolina there. Yes,
yeah,
they're talking about moving
because Atlanta. Atlanta.
No, Atlanta's actually saying, "Hey, we Governor Dill rejected it. So, so if North Carolina's messing up, like our
We're
stadium
the city
will be
too
done."
Busy to hang.
Absolutely, right.
Bring that back.
They find time.
Yeah, but it was an All Star game though. Saying the All Star game was going to be in North Carolina, and they were
okay. It was All Star. Got you. But along those lines, just what do you think? Like, do you think market response, or do you think that's like not maybe not effective, it might not be the term, but do you think that that's a good way to go about expressing it as opposed to the executive?
Absolutely. I think that, again, echoing what I said earlier, if you're a private company, you have every right to make whatever rules you want, to support whatever cause you want to, and to be honest with you, I could rock with not that I would support it, and I would vote against it. But if we as a country came and voted on this, our representatives voted on this, and as a federal law was passed, mm-hmm. much like the civil rights bill mm-hmm. that desegregated schools, mm-hmm. Now, you had states like Alabama who then said no.
Right.
And then, like, National Guard was called in order to desegregate those schools. Mm-hmm. It was not an executive order mm-hmm. that was issued as a, this is my mandate. I think Obama is coming to the end of his tenure as a president, and he is saying, what do I want to mark my presidency? Mm-hmm. And he's finding those things, and he's saying, I'm going to make sure that these things happen, because he knows that there's a stalemate in Congress. And so, and I think that there's everyone's at fault here. Do I think that Obama is right in doing this? No. But I also think that if Obama felt like there was a real opportunity for the American people, because I genuinely think that Obama is not trying to destroy this country. So mm-hmm. let me say that first. That I think if he thought that Congress had a fair shot at debating this, that the American people could, you know, sound off through talking to their representatives, through the way they spend money, then and this bill had a chance in Congress, I don't think he would issue an executive order.
Right.
But I do think
he did some reading of the political climate and was just like, nothing's going to happen here. I might as well just do what
this is. I believe this yeah, to be right. He came out in a quote today, the first time he talked about it. To sum it up, he basically said, this is my job, is to protect this group of people. That's mm-hmm. my job as a president. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm hurting anyone by doing this. So it's title. I said Title 6 earlier. It's Title 4 is the name of this executive order. So, I do think that there is incredible overreach. Now, again, Obama's not the first. Like, George Bush used tons of executive orders. The people that are creating this dichotomy of, like, you know, Obama has gone off the deep end using executive orders. Like, we went into Iraq because of an executive order. So, all these things to say, does that answer your question?
I think so. I think what you're saying is just that basically private businesses, it's free, whatever you want. If you want to protest by, I forget what the company was that, like, was it PayPal that just like, they were like the first major company, like, we were going
to
build a headquarters and they were just like, we're not going
to
build there, basically. And X amount of jobs, therefore, will not be in
created in North Carolina.
Right.
It's very interesting how, like, I totally agree to let private organizations kind of fight this out, right? But I feel like there is, you know, there's politics in all of that. But at the same time, you have, like, an organization like Chick-fil-A that comes out, you know, in the midst of gay marriage, and they experience the largest growth in their company's history. Mm-hmm. That may not be true. The largest growth in a long time when they came out and said, we don't, like, despite all the bad press, despite, you know, cities like New York saying, do not come here, and now they're there, and people are like, I don't care. I like your chicken.
I think also what happened is people like dug down into that and said the company didn't necessarily, like, he said it,
right?
That's, you know what I'm saying, like he was just like, well, what I think is this, and mm-hmm. you know mm-hmm. what I mean,
people realize, yeah, it was kind of a paper trail.
But I hear you though, absolutely. They people hunkered down and said, like, no, we want to support that way.
Yeah. I think every private organization, like, we talked about Facebook off air, about their rights to kind of limit speech, and I think that they do have a right to limit speech. It is a private company, and if we choose to put them in the camp of Fox News or one of these political, like, you know, limbs that, like, you can only get so, like, some type of news from them, cool, like, let that be so. Now, it should be known, or, like, if it comes out like this, like, I don't think it should be, hey, we don't limit speech, and then you find out they do. I think that's messed up. But I do think that every company has the right to make whatever decision they want to, and they need to let the economic functions deal with the consequences of that.
I don't know if we want to pivot here, but I'm curious about the Facebook piece, because I feel like, on some levels, I'm like, man, I get it, because they're like, a private company that's publicly traded though, right? Like,
that's
they're, you know, so yeah. So it's whatever, however we want to evaluate that. But my other thought with that is that, not to like classify it as one of these like too big to fail businesses, but the level of connection that Facebook provides for the world, it's like, not, I mean, Google is your neck, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to just say man, it's just this company. You can choose not to be a part of it, which you can. You don't have to sign up to be, you know, have a Facebook account. But I wonder if there's a little level, like this, if there's a level of, I don't know, scrutiny we can rightly place on Facebook because of the mammoth amount of like the marketplace that it occupies. Does that make sense?
No, totally. It does. I mean,
and maybe in principle, you look at it and you're like, I feel you, Adam, but in principle, it still should be able to make those decisions.
I hate Facebook. I'm just going to put it out there because we as a company try to use Facebook and we will put out posts that we know generally get lots of traction and miraculously they don't, right? And so, and then all of a sudden an ad will pop up when I log on and it's like, would you like to boost this post because it's not performing as well as like some of your other ones? And it's like... surprise, right? So, gotcha.
Didn't see that coming.
Right. So I already see how Facebook, they are about creating revenue now in this new day and age. And so talking about market forces, I see an opportunity if that's the choice they make, if this is in fact true and they choose to kind of go this route of we are going to limit speech, in various degrees, I think it produces an opportunity for another platform to come along and say, hey, there's that platform. And then there's this one where this is an open web concept. Gotcha. We do not limit speech. There's no algorithms here. Like you are truly connected to those who you want to be connected to and truly have access to what they're sharing.
Yeah.
And in that case, I think Facebook is severely, and I think it's why Mark Zuckerberg has come out and said, I'm going to meet with the top conservative people to say, this is not going to happen going forward. Please don't make a big deal out of this. Cause I think he understands the repercussions of the millions and millions of moms and dads who like, they feel comfortable on Facebook.
Right.
And if they feel like their speech is being limited, then Facebook could in fact have an issue on their hands.
Yeah.
Cuts of the week. Let's go. Start.
All right, cool. Gosh, I'm probably going to steal someone's because I had two ready, and I'm just going to go Chance's new album. Sorry if I stole that for somebody.
You took it off my list. I had like three things. Okay. I was like, that was one, so yeah, go with that.
Yeah. Coloring Book, best any music produced in 2016.
Is it really? I haven't listened to it. Or is it just that he's supposed to be... I have a feeling like people love stuff that they think they're supposed to love and they just exaggerate it.
No.
But is it really good?
I mean, some people probably do, but it's a really good record, though, too.
Because I see people on Twitter who, like... I'm like, you know nothing about hip-hop. Yeah. Oh, this album's so amazing. I'm like, I'm...
Here's what I love about this album. It is, so, like, literally what I hate about hip-hop right now is everyone is just making Future songs over and over and over again, or Migos, or whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. Future is literally on the album, and it's not a Future. Like, it doesn't bite on Future. Like, I mean, and Chance outshines everyone on that's featured on the album, which I think is again rare. So
are you a Chance fan? Show
I've never really listened to him, to tell you the truth. Gotcha. I've listened to him on like features, and I'm intentionally not listening to this album until I'm done writing.
It's good
because I don't listen to really any hip-hop during the period when I'm... So yeah, but I like the idea of Chance. I definitely like the idea of him.
Yeah.
And when I've heard him rap, I'm like, he's pretty fresh.
He covers Stephen Curtis Chapman on this album.
That's what somebody said. I heard.
Like, and but it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite cut, but
right. But that frustrates me a little bit too, though. Like how everybody's going crazy over him. Like, oh my gosh, how great is my God? If a Christian artist did that, lame.
Oh no, corny. Yeah, totally.
So I'm like, this is the kind of stuff that pisses me off about the fickleness of hip hop fans, because we want... We want our secular artists to be Christian, and we want our Christian artists to be secular.
God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because so Rob Markman of Rap Genius, he was on like a Twitter conversation like yesterday or the day before yesterday, in which he literally kind of asked this question. He was just like, I mean, this is dope. Chance's record is stupid. How come no one likes Lecrae or Andy Mineo, like, as like a Christian art, like doing because everyone gives so much props to Chance, because literally there's so much gospel,
yeah,
like sound wise that he's sampling, and then also mm-hmm. like content wise a lot of what he's communicating. Now don't get me wrong, he's not like out here like I'm trying to lead you the prayer of salvation in this music, but right. there's no part of it where you're like, yeah, he's clearly being discipled, or you know, you can tell all of that is happening there, at least in terms of musically what's showing up in terms of content. But that being said, like, yeah, it's an interesting thing. And I don't know when this will run, but I know Clock Radio Speakers coming up will be having they're revisiting their hip hop and religion conversation that they did two years ago at this point. And so they'll be kind of covering a little bit of this ground too, to break down a little bit more the ideas of what we really are saying about, you know, artists who are Christian and Christian music, but then also these secular artists who are using that as well as a platform. So, yeah.
I'm not doubting. I mean, but what I'm not saying is that he's a dope rapper. Mm-hmm. But sure. There are some songs I've heard of him perform that I'm like, I'm not feeling at all.
Cool.
That people were so crazy about. And I'm like, let's teach his own.
I mean, the album to me, like, has like the fun song that like I want to just like, heck, no problem, I worked out to No Problem on repeat all day today. And then you have songs like Blessings and Angels that are both like songs I didn't really dig the Justin Bieber song, and like Smoke Break I didn't dig it. I guess I'm just like on an anti-future kind of thing, but for the most part, like, I can listen to the album kind of beginning to the end, and that seems like the rarest thing to me these days, is to be able to just to go press play and go from beginning to end.
Dope.
So what's up? My scratch of the week would can I scratch out a government agency?
Maybe.
What I'd like to shout out to the Department of Driver Services. There are, you know, you hear so many horror stories mm-hmm. about the DMV,
yep.
and like you showing up and just, you know, they're like, bring a book. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be there for a minute. Yo, I had to get my license renewed a few weeks ago. Had a birthday. I turned 82. And so in terms of getting my license renewed, I went ahead and I was like, man, I got to do this, man. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how long this is going to take. And I went and looked on Yelp, and like, there's like reviews for like the Atlanta DDS. And I was like, oh man, they're saying this is going to be quick. I didn't believe them. I was like, I literally was in and out of there in 8 minutes.
Like, oh my Lord.
Like, I wrote a review. I got back to like my computer and I was like, I just want to, you know, publicly thank, you know, the Department of Driver Service. This is an amazing thing. Like, too often we complain when things are wrong, and they're often wrong, that the few moments when something is like really well, they have a seamless process. I don't know if every state's like this or every city, likely not, but you know, you should be like the other 3 million people in the next 5 years and move to Atlanta. And
oh gosh, Atlanta's about to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts. But yeah,
and it has there's nowhere to stop it. Like, it's gonna grow to Nashville or Chattanooga, bro.
Pretty much.
There's no borders to stop its growth.
Yeah. So that's my scratch. Also, I just a mini scratch to Jose Batista's jaw. Just someone could, good Lord.
My I haven't man seen gave someone him the business.
I've not seen someone hit like that, like for real in a long time. Like, that's,
that was disrespectful. So.
Oh my gosh.
And his face when he lands the punch is just like, I do this often, bro. Like, you picked the wrong dude to
that's what I heard. I heard all my boys like, Odor, that dude is like, he's vicious. He's like, yo, I don't play around. I don't know who you thought it was.
He's the Charles Oakley of
exactly.
Major League Baseball.
Yvette, who do you got?
Well, whoever grabbed Bautista, I'm forgetting right now, but it was just clear, like, trust me, bro. Like,
you're
I'm
done.
Doing you a favor right now. We aren't on the same team, but let's let everyone else clear the benches, figure this thing out. But for you, you are finished right now.
Oh, gosh.
It's like a shout out, right?
Yeah, just a shout out.
I would say probably Alicia Keys dropped new music. In Common.
That was good.
Common dropped a new album?
No, not Common. It's called, Alicia Keys dropped a song called In Common.
I was about to say, I would know about that if Common dropped something.
No. Alicia Keys dropped a song called In Common. No, she's not. She's like using her lower register a little bit more. God, and I think and people, it's getting a much better response, you know, because she kind of fell off. I mean,
she's talented.
Not kind of.
It didn't help, though. It didn't help the whole Swiss Beast thing.
I was talking to a friend about that, and I was like, you know, Keys fell off for a minute. Like, that was hard to come back from, you know?
Yeah, I would absolutely say, one, check out New Music Monday. The song is featured today on New Music Monday for 4th District. But yeah, there's this weird inverse relationship where she got more attractive and her music got worse, like over the course of like, and I'm just so glad that like
it's starting to balance out a little
bit. Because
I heard that song. I was on the road and I heard that song. I was like, "Yo, this is Alicia Keys. Like this, she must threw her braids back in. Like
she had like a little head wrap on and everything. She like on the artwork and stuff. Yeah.
Some hot chocolate.
She went back to the diner. So, was like, you know me from the diner.
Yeah.
I look different outside my work.
Yeah, you always get the hot chocolate.
Well, excellent. Well, I have two. Real briefly, because at any opportunity, I'm trying to educate our listeners on soccer. So what happened in the English Premier League was something that was quite unprecedented. A lower league club called Leicester won the league, which is crazy because you have... for those who don't know anything about English Premier Soccer, you have like five clubs that are like the Yankees and they spend money out the wazoo and they usually rotate who wins every 5 years. Like it's just, I mean, not every 5 years, but it's usually one of those five teams. Mm-hmm. But this club out of nowhere, it's like imagine the New Orleans Pelicans, like
worse. I don't even think there's an equivalent.
Yeah, it's like, not. It's not. There is none. It's like this lowly club who has
the Atlanta Braves winning the World Series this year. I mean,
yeah, it would be like if the Gwinnett Braves said, you right, know what, we're gonna come to the major leagues next year.
That's a good
and
call.
Then they win. Right. It's like, what is happening? Like every week people are like, no, they're not gonna hold on. They're not gonna hold on. And eventually it's like they're holding on.
It was 50,000 to 1 odds for them to win the Premier League. And so they bet on everything over in Europe, apparently. Mm-hmm. And the other bet that held 50,000 to 1 odds was that Elvis Presley will be found alive.
It's just nuts.
So there you go. So apparently Elvis is somewhere chilling. Because if Leicester won, then it's possible.
That is just crazy.
But my other one, maybe a shocker to some folks. My scratch of the week, it goes to my man Lecrae. Like after a book that is a New York Times bestseller. He was on a nightly show.
Congrats.
Mm-hmm. And to now sign a record deal.
He was on First Take. He was on First Take.
Why was that the most awkward interview?
Most awkward.
I felt like they just didn't know what to do.
I feel like the moment, if anything close to, oh, he's Christian. Okay, let's make this awkward.
Yeah.
Because they interview rappers all the time.
And it's like jovial.
What happened here? Right.
Right. It was like, so tell me. Yes. Do you know Steph Curry? Is he a Christian for real?
Is he the real deal?
Like, is this what y'all talk about? Like, when we're not around,
right?
Y'all just gonna hit me with...
But another thing is, he's. I mean, you know, I don't know. He's just not that knowledgeable in sports, so I don't know if that would have been the right move. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right move. Anyway, so I mean, I thought he did a great job for what they asked him. Mm-hmm. He came off engaging, but at the same time, like, personable, like he didn't, you know, feel distant, which I thought was dope. And I think he's stewarding and he's doing a good job.
But
also the record label situation with Columbia, I think, has the potential to be a really, really good look for them. Mm-hmm. So, all that to say, man, I think this is probably the third time I've ever said anything
about Reach.
About Reach, because I know, like, anytime I say something, it gets scrutinized to the umpteenth.
Well, you said it at an hour and like 30 into the podcast, so I think you're safe. Like 90% of people didn't make it.
So
we're
that
gonna
was
lead
my scratches.
With it, though. We're gonna lead.
Yeah,
with
I'm gonna
it.
Put it in the title.
There you go.
Show comments on Lecrae.
Don't do that.
Get those posts up.
Don't do that.
Shares.
I intentionally stayed away from that sarcasm That sarcasm, that satire.
Your boy Prop shared it, but you didn't touch it.
I'm not touching it. I just because I don't want any like people
show you hating on Lecrae. Why you hating on Lecrae? Why'd you send one of your goons to write this piece?
Yeah, that's what it's like. I got to. This is why people don't think you got any sense, Joe. I'm like, I have nothing to do with it. I have nothing.
My goons do this for free.
I just get at people, son. I get to ask them.
I don't even have to ask.
So anyway. But yeah, man, it was cool. It was good. It was good to see that, all that. So love, thank y'all for joining us.
Yvette, thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, don't miss us. Hopefully it won't be the last time.
Yeah.
That's right. Anytime.
All right.
One, stay woke. Wake up.
Open, and I'm the maestro for this certain moment, trying to take it sky high, so go alert the stoners. Fear got your guy almost on the verge of blowing it. Bravos, I hear the hand claps, and I know that this here could be my last chance, and I can't ever remember having this chance last, and in this second, this moment here will be past tense. Man, I'm past tense, I'm on the edge of a classic, but slacking got me on the edge of a has-been, too passive, gotta snatch this moment before I pass it, and face this test like Steve Nash and pass it. I would not be crippled, cast loaves in the oceans, gotta see ripples, excuses are useless, tools that the fools pick, only got one shot, but it feels like a full clip. For this one moment, patiently waiting in line just to get on it. These players hating on me, I gotta let it go. Put me in the game, coach, I got some better goals. This game's so foul, it's sort of pitiful. Tell your people, go and grab a stone and get a free throw. And let them know, I love the Lord. But sometimes it's like that, I love me more. Seek his applause, break all your laws. We tear the roof off, homie, we don't need no doors. So now, I stand on top of this. I have strength in my esophagus. Hear me roar like a young lion. A team called Iron, a product from new science. My confession ain't no fear in me now. Just like an usher, it's my job to move crowds. Once upon a time, I lived in a world that was bound by fear. Escaped his hold, now life's reset. Then I was given grace to break the enemy's net.
It's time for the conquerors. Oh, it's my turn? Excuse me, the monster's up. Foe slaying, cruising in this monster truck. It's no playing, giving bruises in this Tonka truck. My circle's where the riders is. A couple Paul and Silas is, and Leonidas is. Kinda sickening how bold this virus is. No sniffling, but so cold like sinuses.
Make room for the misses, the crew full of misfits. Peruse your policies and hack through ICE systems. Intrude your embassy, sneak food to your listeners. Pilots, provisioners, and suicide bombers. Musical monsters, martyrs, quick to die for resigner. Yeah, this is our moment. We're facing our fear, cause faith has appeared. So baby, we'll take it from here. Here.